left off in the previous shiur, developing this idea that really started with the Rambam. The Rambam told us in the Sanhedrin that the standards for ascertaining information prior to the case proper are very, very different than the standards necessary for the case itself. So, for example, to say that Reuven ate chelev, you want to give a person malchus for that. You want to say that Reuven ate chazir, like give him malchus, you require to aid him. However, to ascertain, to simply determine beforehand that this was chelev, this was chazir, one aid can establish facts prior to the case problem. That's all the Rambam said. That was the entire Rambam. Then we saw that the Gedolei Acharonim took that Rambam and started to extend it. So one of the people who extended it was the Sheikh Schmeitzer. It's also on Wednesday. The Sheikh Schmeitzer says that even though we have a rule that ain holchin b'vomen achar rov, you cannot use a rov to take away somebody's money. And how much more so, says the Sheikh Schmeitzer, ain holchin b'nefash sachar rov. Can you kill somebody based on a rope? It seems to be impossible. You can't take away $20 from him. Obviously, he can't do his life. That's what Sheikh Schmeitzer assumes. Whether or not that Kavachomer is accurate or not is a different story, but Sheikh Schmeitzer's work with that assumption. So what in the world does the Gemara mean in Masechet Sanhedrin when it says that we use a rope to determine that this individual is subject to the potential punishment of Ben Sora Mora? We spoke about the whole complicated rope on Wednesday that his mother probably said this supposed wife of his that he doesn't really have would have become pregnant. It would have been 3 months and 2.5 months, all the whole shtickle that we spoke about the other day. But ultimately, based on Rove, we declare to still be eligible to be a Ben Sorabora. How could that be? How could you kill somebody based on Rove? So the Sheikh might say, no, that's not called killing somebody based on Rove. That's called establishing facts prior to the case based on Rove. And that's okay. So we have two examples as to using halakhic principles that they themselves would not be sufficient to paskin a case proper, but they are sufficient to collect data prior to the case. We have the halachic principle of Eid Echod, that was the Rambam's original case. Then we have the Sheikh Schmeitzer's extension to Rove. And then say, Eid Echod, Rove, what's the difference? Those are all acceptable principles to establish the data beforehand. Then we saw that Rabbi Chanan, which is really the context that Afsugya said, that's exactly what's going on in Afsugya. We have two Eidim who contradict two Eidim. So we throw the Eidim out. But in future cases, we're going to accept the Eidim. So what do you mean we accept the Eidim? It's a Suffolk. We don't even know the Eidim are kosher. How in the world can you take away somebody's money in a future case based on Suffolk Shakranim? So the Rashbam said, no problem. So you follow the Chazokah of Kashrus of the Eidim. Since the set of Eidim used to be kosher, they remain kosher, even though we're not really sure that they're still kosher. So he asked the question, what do you mean? You're using a chazaka l'hotzi mavon? That's unheard of. Unless you were in Frankfurt in the 1700s and adopted today. Shua held that way. You can use chazaka l'hotzi mavon. Nobody else held that way. So how does that work? So the Chon explained, we're not using chazaka l'hotzi mavon. We're using chazaka to be makshu edim. That's pre-case. Those are pre-facts. So just as the Rambam says, we could use an edechon to collect data. Sheikh Schmeitzer said we could use a rove to collect data. But Bukharin says the same thing. We could use a chazaka to collect data. Chazaka may cover status quo as well. However, the question is this a direct line, the three scenarios that we depicted? We know what the Rambam said. The Rambam said it by Eidim. We know what the Sheikh Schmeitzer said. He extended it to rove. And Rabbi Bukharin is going the extra every couple hundred years if somebody else extends it a little further. Bukharin is extending it to chazaka. Can we say, wait a second, not so simple. The Rambam we can accept, even the Sheikh Schmeitzer we can accept. The Rabbi Chana's extension within our sugya, within the Rashbam, within the Rafun in our sugya, is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. So much of a chiddush, maybe a little bit overboard chiddush. Based on what's the difference? Why can't I connect the dots? I go from Erecha to Rov to Chazaka. Wherein lies the difference between those three? There is a very, very famous question we've touched on this in the past. Let's continue to touch on it as sugya is developed. As to how do you understand these Kloli HaTorah, but we have Sfegas. We don't really know what to do. Comes the Torah and says, you follow Rav. Comes the Torah and says, you follow Chazaka. Comes the Torah and says, you follow Erecha. Again, in some cases, these Kloli work. Other cases, the Kloli don't work. But if and when these Kloli, these principles work, one can raise a fundamental question. What's the nature of these Kloli? We can understand these klal in one of two ways. Either we can understand God is giving us tools as to how to be mevarer emes. How do you determine facts? How do you determine the truth? We don't bracha kodesh. We don't know 100%. So the Torah tells us that if two eidim come and tell you something, you could see, you could sleep well that night. You could assume that that's in fact what happened. Or in some areas of halacha, even an erechad would be sufficient. But obviously, the standards of proof are going to be higher to kill somebody than to just simply declare that this food is treif. So erechad and bisurim. So when erechad comes and says that this food is treif, we could say with certainty this food is treif. We believe the erechad. That's what we call in halacha biror. That the erechad has been vile with the emphasis. But the rove, the overwhelming amount, it's a 90% chance that such is true. That's a biror for all practical purposes. Again, is it possible that it's not true? Anything's possible in the world. But we can say with certainty, these are the facts. This is the way it is. What do I say? No. It's a suffix. It was a suffix. It is a suffix. Like the suffix we all brought, it remains a suffix. Elohat. Because Baruch Hu had to give us tools. What do you do in life when you have sphakis? Some people, they have sphakis, they're paralyzed. They don't do anything. That's not always such a good option. So Baruch Hu, the Chacham also said, when you have sphakis, this is what you do when you have sphakis. The same Torah that says that you put on tefillin and you keep Shabbos and you keep Pesach tells us that if and when you have a suffix, follow Rome, follow Chazakah, follow Eidim, follow Erechet, whatever the case may be, whatever the particular rules are. But it's not that the Torah is revived for us. And Pesach is not telling us that there's any more truth. We are in the same dark that we were an hour ago. It doesn't matter. We're allowed to live our lives in the dark. And that's what we call the Olamei Yeshivas. That's called the Dim Hanhaga. So we're knowing in a certain manner, but we don't really know that it's true. So what are these klalim? Are these klalim of Birur? Or are these klalim of Hanhaga? And the answer is, they don't necessarily have to be the same. And there are really, really serious reasons to believe that they're not the same. Some of these klalim work through the mechanism of Birur. Others work through the mechanism of Hanhaga. If we take the approach, and we'll see in a moment what's forcing us or leading us that direction. If we take the approach that this is where Rov and Chazakah actually part ways, that a Rov is a Birur. A Rov is a statistical probability, 90% sure this is the way it is. When the Torah says, Achram Hatas, what the Torah is telling us is that we have a right to assume this is the way it is. This is the reality. This is the Rov. This is the Birur. Hanhoga? The fact that 6 months ago, the woman used to be Muteres, now she's still Muteres. Like, maybe yeah, maybe no. We don't know that she's Muteres, but the Torah said we live our lives based on Chazakah. It's impossible to live a life, to function in the world without to a certain degree following on status quo. So this is the way it was yesterday. Until proven otherwise, we can assume this is the way it is today. Does it mean that it is? No. Can we say with certainty that it is? No. Are we allowed to be knowing that it is? Yes. That's what a Din HaNoga is all about. And it's very possible that Rovs and Chazakas part ways in this manner. If that is the case, that Rov is a Biror, most probably Eidus is also a Biror. And not only Eidus of two Eidim, but Eidus of an Eidechad also in those areas of Allah where an Eidechad is accepted. Again, we're not going to accept what Torah doesn't accept that standard of proof of an Eidechad. We have even the Havdil. We have in a second law also, there are different standards of proof that are necessary for capital cases, for monetary cases. Not everything is the same. So the Chora one can argue as follows. Whenever the Torah tells us there's a Birur, we've established the facts to be such, then I understand what the Rambam is talking about. When the Erechad comes and he says, I'm telling you this is Chaylev, so we have to treat this as Chaylev. The halacha says it's this barer for us. That's chaylev. And therefore, if a company asks the rabbi, am I allowed to eat this meat? The answer is absolutely not. You're going to be chayv koresh. You're not allowed to eat this meat. Erech and bisurim. So we said with certainty, this meat is chaylev. We say with conviction, this meat is chaylev. A week later, somebody eats the meat. And now we say, oh no, we're not going to give you malchus. You know why we're not going to give you malchus? Because we don't know that you ate chaylev. What kind of joke is that? What do you mean you don't know we ate chaylev? A week ago, we said it was the Zbara law to 1,000% that you ain't chelev, because the parish of Erechad and Bisurin kicked in. Once the parish of a Birur kicks in, the game's over. You can't have a Birur lechatsoyin. We're mevarid vis-a-vis A, but we're not mevarid vis-a-vis B. Once we paskin A already, once A already came into existence, then the game's over. If we didn't paskin A, There's just we're trying to figure out based on Eichet. Eichet tells us that Reuven killed Shimon, so we were never Mevar yet. The Torah never gave us those rules of Birur yet. But once the Torah gives us rules of Birur and it passes the Birur test, once something passes the Birur test, it's Nisbara. What do you mean it's Nisbara for A and not for B? That's talking two sides of your mouth. The word Birur means that we know for a fact that this is true. So I understand the Rambam's principle when it comes to the Birur of Eichet. I understand the Sheikh Shmaita's application when it comes to the Birur of Rov. But when it comes to Chazaka Meikara, Chazaka Meikara is not a Birur. Chazaka Meikara, we don't know anything more than we knew beforehand. All Chazaka Meikara is a din hanhaga, the Elma Eshivas. It means you're allowed to make believe and live your life based on the following. Do we have any conviction, any certainty, any reality here? Absolutely nothing. We're not convinced of anything. No one's taking any shmur and a separate Torah that these are the facts. Nobody knows. We have no idea. We live our lives based on chazaka. That's very nice. You can live your life based on chazaka vis-a-vis some halachas and not live your life based on chazaka vis-a-vis other halachas. So you want to come and say, well, you were just machshir the eidim based on chazaka. Now let's use that chazaka lahotzi mamon. What do you mean? Just because the Torah said that you follow the chazaka, you follow the adhoga, like I'm the A, that you follow. Look at BB. If you were fire with the emesis, you can have a birur emes lechatzoy. You can have a din hanhoga lechatzoy. Why not? What's wrong with a din hanhoga lechatzoy? Forget, that's going to be the background of the entire next sugi that's coming. You can, when you have din hanhoga, you can contradict yourself right and left. I'm no yagazoy, and then I'm no yagazoy, and you can have steerers in your hanhogas. That doesn't make a difference. You can't have steerers in the tzias. You can have steerers in reality. You can have steerers in din hanhoga. What leads us to believe this chiluk? It sounds almost like a little bit of an arbitrary chiluk. That Rove is somehow more in the realm of a birur, and Chazaka is more in the realm of Anhaga. If you just read the Pesukim Chumash, read the Gemara, it's hard to tell. We have one series of Pesukim that teaches us the sugya of Rove. It's Achrei Rav Mahatos. It's back from Parshas Mishpatim. Then we have a din of Chazaka Meikara, of status quo, that was learned out from Bayis HaMedubah, Parshas Mitzvah, that we spoke about the other day. The Torah gives us these two different parashas, two different sugyas, like Mehechet Eisen, because it's good for our lambda, so we'll call one a Birur, call one a Hagaga. What kind of game is that? What leads us? What Mamori Chazal do we have? What indications of Chazal do we have that this is in fact the case? That the Rov and the Chazak are actually working in two very, very different ways. So Rabbi Chonon comes to the rescue in this one as well. Comes to Bukhar Masimin, and he suggests that this chiluk, this distinction, is actually the background to something that we've been talking about many, many times. And that is the principle of Ruba v'chazacha, Ruba adif, something that we spoke about a lot of time earlier in the week about. Back to that case, remember that case we spoke about the last week about the is, about the dough. So I have this dough. The dough is a cheskes tara. I know that the dough was tar. Yesterday the dough was tar, an hour ago the dough was tar, 5 minutes ago, and then ago, 30 seconds ago, this dough was tar. All of a sudden, I got this kid now patching around, playing with this dough, and I have no idea, did this dough become tummy or not? What leads me to believe that the dough became tummy? The kid. And do I know the kid is tummy? No. On the other hand, I know what kids do. Those kids are patching around. They play with the dead mice or the dead lizards. I guess lack of better toys in those days. So the odds are there's a 90% chance this kid is probably tummy. Again, do we know for certain? No. Now, all of a sudden, we have a latest result. We have a dough that has a cheskes tahara. The status quo was it was stored. And now there's a rove that was probably became tummy. Probably doesn't mean certainly. Probably means probably. What's the din? So we mentioned last week there's machlekes ha-tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says that the dough could still retain its status of tara. But we don't pass like Rabbi Meir. We pass like the Chachamim. That ruba v'chazoka, ruba adif. That the rove of children being tummy outweighs the chazoka, the status quo of the dough. And therefore, min haTorah, we declare this dough to be tamei. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. It's a cloud gadol in halacha. That may not always be true, but it's a cloud gadol in halacha. Ruba v'chazaka, at least Roman times true. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Where'd they come from? We're not really. How did the Chum figure that out? The Gemara is silent on this. The Gemara doesn't really tell us much. The only thing the Gemara says is that the miut is kamanda leisa. The minority, the statistical minority, that maybe that small chance that the kid is star, we ignore that. It doesn't really explain it. So where did it come from? Not immediately. How did Chum figure this out? Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. So Rabbi Chonon suggests they figured it out very, very simply. It was clear to Chazal that Rove is a Birur, and it was clear to Chazal that chazaka is on haga. Comes from Bukhara and says, when you have a rogue that's a biror, what a biror means is it's no longer a latest asafik. That's exactly what biror means. Biror means we're mevara what the reality is, and now the facts of the ground are like the rove, i.e., the miut is kamandalaysa, which is exactly what Lashon HaGemara is. The miut doesn't exist. It's nizbara lana b'tar, it's vada. We're 1,000% convinced now that these are the facts. There is no latest asafik. If there's no latest asafik, then the whole sugya of hanhaga of chazaka doesn't kick in. Chazaka was given to us when you have a suffix. For somebody who has a doubt, you follow the chazaka. If you don't have a doubt, then you don't follow the chazaka. Chazakas weren't given for people to know the fact. I know that this is true. I know that this piece of meat is kosher. So you're going to tell me, no, but the chazaka was, I don't have a suffix, Rabbi. So if you have a suffix, I don't have a suffix. When you have a rove, there's no more suffix anymore. If rove would have simply been a hanhaga, so when you have a hanhaga, it's like the suffix, it still remains the suffix. So then you can discuss, I have a rove, I have a chazaka, the two are contradicting each other. What do you do? Where do I go from here? But the minute that you tell me that rove is betoras biror, once something is inspired to be the eves, so then there's no suffix. When there's no suffix, so there's no room to talk about a chazaka. That's the reason why rove and chazaka move on. So says Rabbi Chanan, in the Gemara itself, linked in this din, the condition of pay, is this fundamental lomdashi, shivishi yisayin, that rove is a biror, chazaka is an hava. If that's the case, that rove is a biror and chazaka is an hava, so that spells trouble for us. Because just because the Rambam says that once you establish facts based on Ein Echad, then you continue the show, just because the Sheish Maitza said once you establish facts based on a rove, you continue to play the game, we cannot extrapolate that to chazakas. We cannot say, well, I established the facts based on chazaka, therefore I'm good to go. No, not so fit. You didn't establish anything based on chazaka. Chazaka is not a biur. Chazaka is simply a din haga, and din haga doesn't get you anywhere. So we almost have like a contradiction within Rabbi Chanan's. There are different pieces and different places in Rabbi Chanan. So the way Rabbi Chanan is suggesting to us that rove and chazaka are so radically different. One is a biur, one is a haga. That Rabbi Chanan doesn't bode well for this other Rabbi Chanan. Because Rabbi Chanan was the one who extended the Rambam, the Sheish Maizah, to the case of chazaka. It's not a kasha, it's the ha'ara. That Rabbi Chanan is almost like playing two different sides here. He's saying that if it's very possible, Ruba Chazaka or others based on this, on the other hand, if you want to say Pshat and Ar Sugya, then you're probably going to have to take a little bit of a different twist. So again, these are a lot of the short terms that are thrown around. Again, as I mentioned, it took Ruba Chazaka 5 hours to say this. We're trying to say it in 5 minutes. We can't do justice to it. But these are fundamentally Yesodos that are all being tossed around to try to understand what's going on in Ar Sugya.
It's like a new Chazaka has been established. It's not really like... When you say that the role basically creates the reality that's a mirror, it's basically saying the old Chazaka is no good. Now you have a new Chazaka. It's like you said the other day,
real time. It's like a real time. So Rambam was not going down that real time. That real time idea, but that was a Sheish Maitza idea, right? It's like a different twist this again. Everyone's trying to get to the same place. Everyone's trying to explain why Rov beats out Chazakas. Each Gedolei Achronim is saying with a slightly different nusach. It's like the Gemara says that Ein Shnei Neviim is not the second Echad. Different Neviim and different Nevuas that are very, very similar. But if you look carefully, the words are slightly different. The same basic picture is there. You find this all the time in learning. It's like there was like a mahalach in Europe. You went to Slovakia, you went to the Mir, you went to Tells, you went to, and wherever you went, they were saying the same basic mahalach. Each Rashiva said it with a slightly different twist to it. And almost like in the world of Hashkafat, brings to mind a famous story about the Yosef Eibishitz. That there was somebody came to Yosef Eibishitz and they said to him, I don't understand. He said, why do you Jews keep the Torah? He said, Achram Mahatas. Most of the people don't keep the Torah. Most of the people having a good time in the world. So what do you follow? You yourselves believe in Rove. Why do you follow Rove? So Yosef Eibishitz responded. He said that Rove was given for people who have sfeikus. I don't know what the facts are. So Torah says you got to follow Rove. Says, I'm not really suffering about the truth of Torah. The truth of Torah is a certainty to me. It's a vados. So I never learned this suffering. So it's not appropriate to follow Rove. That was a shtickle time. I'm not sure whether the person who asked the question would appreciate the lumdos. That was the part from Rabbi Yosef. So it's interesting, Rabbi Chanan, in his Sefer on Drush, so he writes, he quotes the story from Rabbi Yosef. And then he says, that if I would have been there, I would give it another shtickle time, another answer. The first answer is good answers. I'm going to say answer, but Oy Yishlema, second answer. It says in Bukhana, the parish of Rove, the original parish of Rove is by Dayanim. So you have three Dayanim. The Torah says, two out of three, they ought to be followed. Two out of three, Acharav Mahatis. Says the Bukhar, but Medibam Amur, that you follow Rov Dayanim, is that Dayanim are kosher to be Dayanim. What disqualifies a Dayan? Someone who's not a Sheikha, person takes bribery. So you have three Dayanim, and they all took money under the table. That's a Rov. Is that a Rov? They're all Shekhar, they're all lies. Throw them into jail, they're all accept bribes. So says the Bukhar, the parish of Rov Dayanim means the prerequisite is they have to be kosher. And you can't take a bribe. So says Rabbi Chanan, what we have a discussion. We're having a din Torah about the truth of Torah. So some of the people who are trying to voice their opinion are taking bribes. What's their bribes? Like Lamaze, Kashmir, a lot of money, a lot of things that they're. So says Rabbi Chanan, is that anyone who takes bribes, anyone who's mushba from the gifts of Lamaze, they're not royal kach, they're not kosher to give an opinion on the truth of Torah. So who's available? Says Rabbi Chanan, the only people who are kosher to sit on this din Torah. Having a din Torah, sounds like fear. Having a din Torah about the truth of Torah. So says Rabbi Chanan, good, we're going to have a din Torah. Who's going to sit on the din Torah? Only people who have no shaykhs, they don't take a lam hazard, they're not, you know, we'll put in the din Torah. We'll put Rashi on the din Torah, put the Rabbi, Kivenga, we'll put the Ketayis, but they'll sit on the din Torah. Guess what? It's going to be a unanimous vote. The Torah is true. Said all the people who are not mushba from the Shochar of Olam Hazeh will all vote in the same direction. So yes, we do follow Olam Hazeh. I'm not sure what the person would appreciate that long to see them, but whatever it is, Ben Lefir of Yerzai, Ben Lefir of Abuchar, we can rest assured, even if we don't necessarily walk away this morning from knowing what Rose and Chazak is on, Torah we know is true. That's the belief himself. Anyway, so back to that story. So everything we've been talking about for the last week or so has been revolving around our basic sugya about Shtei Kitei Edom. You have two sets of Edom. One set says, Reuven broke the window. The other set says, he didn't break the window. We throw both sets out, but for future reference, we will accept each set independently. I didn't say we can mix and match from one group to another. That's a whole other story. But each independent group will be acceptable. And that was according to the view of Rav Huna. That's a we paskin. But Rav Chisda disagreed. Rav Chisda said, no. Hadei sadei shakri lavalu. Chisda said, they're liars. Each one is a suffix liar. You can't accept suffix liars in the din Torah in the future. But we don't pass like that. We pass like Rav Huna. Zubav for the Atzom Ida. Zubav for the Atzom Ida. In order to understand Rav Huna a little bit better, we still have to fine tune what Rav Chisda said. So the entire last sugya was working with an assumption of the Rashbam that Rav Chisda's objection to using each set of independent Edom was, how can you use a chazak al-haytzi mamam, which forced us to try to explain, according to Rav Huna, how can you? But according to the Rashbam, that was the thrust of the sugya. How can you use a chazak al-cheskes markam, I'm sorry, the chazak al-mekara of the kashas of the Edom, how can you be haytzi mamam based on a status quo? Which now segues really into the next sugya. We don't really need the markam, so we can just literally give the Rashi proper in the next sugya. But the next sugya begins with a whole other approach. When Rav Huna said, Zubav Me'atzim Ida, Zubav Me'atzim Ida. He was relying on the Chazaka. So far, the same. All the approaches are the same so far. But Rav Chisda is very, very different. When Rav Chisda turns around and says to Rav Huna, no, you can't do that. How can you accept potentially Shachranim Edim? Comes the Rimagash, at least the way Rav Chan explains Rimagash. Rimagash himself is not 100% clear, but Rimagash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So, but the way that's usually assumed what the Rimagash is driving at is as follows. Rav Chisda's objection was, you are contradicting yourself. You are entering into that area of Allah called the Tarte Desasre. You, based them with a straight face, are going to say, okay, all four Edom are kosher. We'll accept Reuben and Shimon tomorrow for this case, and Levi and Yehuda next week for the following case. Wait a second, based them. One of these pairs of Edom are for sure Shakranim. One set said he broke the window, and the other set said we were there, he didn't break the window. Somebody is lying. How in the world could you go ahead and accept all four and say, no problem, we'll accept Reuben and Shimon today, and we'll accept Levi and Yehuda tomorrow for a different case, and we'll paskin shaz and be in a moment's place at all of them? It's a tarte desasre. It's an internal contradiction. A tarte desasre is out of the question. That was the concern of Rav Chisda. That's a totally different concern than the way the Rashbam learned. For the last 2 weeks, we've been learning that Rav Chisda's objection was, how could you use chazak al-hotzi mamon? And we had to respond to that, and we came up with different answers, and Yeshua's, and Shechweitz's, and Rabbi Chanan, as to how to respond to that claim. Now, we're going down a different route. We left the world of the Rashbam. Rashbam is writing in France. We're now in the world of the Rimagash. Now we're in Spain. And in the world of the Rimagash, Rav Chisda was talking a different language. Rav Chisda was saying, you can't accept four Edom because you know for a fact that is not a true statement. That's what's called the tie to disaster, and you can't be sasi yourself. So how did Rav Huna respond to that? We don't know. The Gemara never records what the response was. The Gemara says Rav Huna's statement, as Rav Chisda's critique, which again, we're not sure the Rishbam, the Rivagash, what the critique was, what the response of Rav Huna was, because I was silent. So where the Gemara ends, the Rishonim begin. So we have to now try to fill in the gaps. What did Rav Huna think? So the Chora, what Rav Huna thought was as follows. It's a tire to disaster. So what? Big deal. We can be sais to ourselves. And Rav Chisda said, no, you can't. And Rav Huna said, yes, you can. And Rav Chisda said, no, you can't. What are they arguing about? What is this arbitrary machlokes? Is that make any sense? I can give two different psukim that are so to each other. Usually in the realm of tied to disaster, we try to stay away from tied to disaster, right? When you dumb most people, oh, it's gevalt, it's tied to disaster, right? So the image that conjures up in the mind is davening minch at 7 o'clock and then davening mayor 15 minutes later. So that's what the Rishonim call a tied to disaster, right? But we're talking about the Mamunas, we're talking about Paschal, the Shah's based in. Is this an application of the principle tied to disaster? So apparently, what must be playing out in the sugya is as follows. According to Rav Huna, what led us to believe that the Edom are kosher? It was a safek. The answer was, it was a chazaka meikara. This rule of following chazaka meikara, is it acceptable to follow chazaka meikara to pasken azoy, and then 5 minutes later use the same principle of chazaka meikara to pasken azoy about something else, knowing full well that those two psachim contradict each other? Is that legitimate vehicle of psach halacha or not? Can I use that parish of Chazak Mekor going back to Bayis HaManuga, back to Bash Mitzvah? This Chiddush HaTorah of Bayis HaManuga, can I take it and use it when I want, knowing full well that in 10 minutes from now, I'm going to use it in a contradictory way, and I'm going to be left standing there and trying to defend to the world, I just passed A and B that are outright contradictions. They both can't. It is impossible for A and B both to be true, and that's okay. I can smile and say, I'm shouting up Chazaka. I'm following the Chazaka Mekar. Is that acceptable or not? That seems to be the root of the Machlekes in Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna says yes. Rav Huna says, Paskin based on Chazaka. Chazaka is Reuven and Shimon Kosher, Zol Zayin Kosher. The Chazaka is Levi and Yehuda Kosher, Zol Zayin Kosher. Now you have a base in four Edom that are registered as being Sheirim, and it can't be. It is impossible for all four to be Kosher. That's okay. No problem. That's fine. It's like the old joke that goes, three people. One says, you know, such one thing. Another says something else. The third person says, you're right, and you're right. Somebody says, how can they both be right? They're contradicting each other. Says, you're also right. They're contradicting each other. Just because two things are contradicting each other, they can both be right. That's what Rav Huna says. And Rav Chisda says, double talk. Nonsense. If they're contradicting each other, they can't be right. What is the point of contention between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? What do we think the din should be before we even see the Raya's and the Gemara one way or another? Logically, what should the din be? The answer is, it seems to be a throwback to everything we've been talking about today and previous Yurim. What is Chazaka? Is Chazaka a Birur? Or is Chazaka simply an Anhaga? If Chazaka is a Birur, that means Chazaka is a vehicle that the Torah gives us to determine the truth. You cannot have two contradictory truths. If the goal of Chazaka is to determine what really truly happened, who is really telling the truth, you cannot say Reuven and Shimon are absolutely certain. We're 1,000% sure Reuven and Shimon are telling the truth, and we're 1,000% sure that Levi and Yehuda are telling the truth. That is an impact. That is a foolish statement, because what Reuven and Shimon said is the opposite of what Levi and Yehuda said. So they can't both be true. So if you think that the goal of Chazaka is to establish a beaver of truth, then you're going to have a lot of trouble explaining how that's going to work when you have a tied to disaster. However, if your goal in Chazaka is much less than that, you're not trying to provide the truth. Chazaka is not even a vehicle to be provided to. It doesn't even have the ability to provide truth. All Chazaka says is, you have a suffix, you don't know what to do, so just make believe this is what's happening. Just follow the Chazaka, that's it. I'm making believe. So I'm making believe that Reuben and Shimon are kosher. Do I know that they're kosher? No. But the Torah lets me make believe. The Torah lets me live in that world of La La Land, that world of fantasy of Chazaka. That's okay. That's the Chiddush of Parshas Mitzrayim. So I live in the world of Chazakas of Anhaga vis-a-vis Reuben and Shimon. And then 5 minutes later, I live in the same world of fantasy about Levi and Yehuda. And I say, Reuben and Shimon are kosher and Levi and Yehuda are kosher. Rabbi, it can't be. It's a contradiction. You can't have contradictory facts. I turn around and I say, what facts? Who has facts? I don't have any facts. I have no idea what the facts are. I couldn't care less what the facts are. I'm simply being knowing as like, Anhagas can contradict each other. Birurim cannot contradict each other. That seems to be the root of the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, if we're going down this new route in the sugya to be megash. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, next week, we'll take this principle that we just barely scratched the surface with, and now test it. We call the laboratory of Shas. They got to go through all Shas. At least some sugyas in Shas to see. What do they do? We have any indications from different Mar Chazal, different approaches to Rishonim? What do you do, Taka, when you have a character to Sasre of two chazokas? Where do you go? So logically, we figured out where you go, depending on what you think. It's a row, a chazok is a biro and hoga, but it's not enough for us just philosophize what the din is. You got to check the Gemara and see what matches up in terms of the sugyas of Shas. So that's Shem on Tuesday. So we'll come back to this. Shem on a good Shabbos.
Yeah. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Tuesday's a Chodesh. Yeah, Tuesday's a Chodesh. So a couple minutes earlier, okay? Whatever that is. Tuesday's a Chodesh. So we should, you know, we make it so well. We always start 40 minutes before the so whatever that minute is.